Again, we desire your prayers. The Lord will have mercy and help us. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, please. 2 Corinthians 6th chapter, 1st verse. Said, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee, and in time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. There have been many people that have done a lot of things and put a lot of things off, and it has cost them dearly one way or another. There's natural things, there's physical things, and there's eternal things. But the thing that is most important in our lives is our eternal. You can put things off natural sometimes. You can not change out tires, or you can not do this or that and so forth and get away with it and maybe go for a while, unless it gets down to the cords or all the way through and maybe the thing's bald all over and so forth, and then you think, well, maybe I ought to change that tire. But the bottom line is sometimes you can put these things off. If you want to buy certain groceries and it's time to get some things and the wife goes to the store and she said, well, I don't want to buy steak this week. I want to buy chicken. You can do that. And you can get by fine. But again, the eternal side is something we've got to be extremely careful about. You and I have got to think, we've got to consider, we've got to weigh. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. It's been ushered in. It is here. It's time now. In Matthew, the 1st chapter, I want to read here Matthew 1 and about 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. For many years, this prophecy had been in place. But now, it was fixing to be fulfilled. It had come to the place of now. In other words, right now, we're going to fulfill this. This child is going to be born. This child is going to come in. And he said there in one place, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Not in their sins, but the one that is able to do what needs to be done, the one that is able to bring about a plan of salvation, of glory, of holiness, of power, of authority, and everything is fixing to come in this world now. He's fixing to show up on the scene now. He's fixing to do something for you now. Well, that same Jesus that was born now, so to speak, is now sitting on the right hand of God. He's sitting there in a place where he can now help you, deliver you, bless you, save you, sanctify you, heal you. Whatever you need, Jesus is the one now that is setting to do that for you. And he said, now is the time of salvation. Let's not wait till later. The whole plan is now. God set it in place, and he wants you and I to pay attention. There have been multitudes of people that have put things off as far as their souls, and they've come up short many times and gone out into eternity not ready to meet God. They didn't do it now. Now is a very important, a very fact that we need to do something about what God is asking us to do. Let's go to Acts, the 2nd chapter, and read here, 14th verse. And he said, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew you wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And go on down here in about the 22nd verse. No, the 21st verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. All right, let's go to the 36th verse of this same chapter, 2 and 36 of Acts. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let it be known now, right now. I want you to get it in your mind, so to speak, because the 37th verse said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now then, when Jesus was born, and he come up to the age where that he could go out into his public ministry, which was about 30 years old, I believe, and he moved out, John saw him one day, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus now is on the scene. John running, poor running, he preached and taught repentance and so forth, but now then Christ has stepped on the scene. The man of man, so to speak, the Savior of the world, the one with all power in heaven and earth, the one that is going to bring about a plan of glory and blessings to all mankind, has now stepped on the scene. And now that he's gone his time, they have done what they've done with him, he has done what he's done, now he's gone to the Father, now then the Holy Ghost has been sent down on the day of Pentecost, and Peter has stepped in on the scene. Now then, folks, remember, Jesus has got set in place. I preached the other night, and brought out in the one message I brought out, and was saying how Jesus had prayed so much for those people that were going to be picked and selected by him, that was going to take his body of people and move on. Here is one of them right here. Here is the one, Peter. Now Peter denied the Lord, and he got himself in trouble. But also, I believe Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Here Peter steps on the scene. He didn't back up. He didn't get in a corner. He right now boldly proclaimed. Listen, folks, the apostles, they come out after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they begin to do? They begin to proclaim. They begin to teach. They begin to do everything that needed to be done. They stood their ground. They done everything, even if it cost their lives. They wouldn't back up. Now is the day of salvation. We've got to get this gospel out. Jesus has called us. He's commissioned us. He's empowered us with something that will lead, guide, and direct. And I'm going to do what my part needs to be. Now is the day of salvation. And Peter is beginning to proclaim that. He is standing his ground. He's teaching. He's preaching. He's exclaiming. And then, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do? What can we do? What must we do? What are you telling us here, Peter? What are you telling us? Jesus is sitting on the right hand. He's the one now that we're preaching to you the remission of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the one that I'm proclaiming to all mankind. Now is the day of salvation. Now then, folks, no matter who you are, Jerusalem, Gentiles, Samaritans, Pharisees, whoever you are, you've got to repent and be baptized now. You've got to do it right now. Some people want to do things, but they don't want to do it right. Jesus said you've got to repent and be baptized. Jesus said you've got to confess your sin. Jesus said you've got to do this and that. The Bible declares it, and so consequently we've got to follow now what the Word of God says. Now is the day of salvation. So the apostles come out. They started firing the old gospel gun. They started doing what needed to be done. And the people started listening. They began to do. Now he said there, it said they were pricked in their hearts. What did it say about Saul? Saul, he was, Jesus told him, I said, it's hard for thee to stick against pricks. Hard for you to do that. These people move pretty easy. Saul's over here later fighting this very thing, or maybe even at this time. He's already beginning to fight it. Listen tonight, are you kicking against the pricks? Are you trying to stand against the power of God? Jesus is calling. He's telling. He's begging. He's pleading. But what are you doing? What is your response to this thing? Are you doing what the Lord is asking you to do? There have been people that have been in revival meeting after revival meeting, camp meeting after camp meeting, and now is the day of salvation, and they're still putting it off. They're still turning down. They're still walking out and not being saved. And the Lord is saying now, it's time to do something now. At the end of your life, could be right now. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have the next 30 minutes. And so consequently, the Lord is saying tonight, and now is the day of salvation. It's time to do something about yourself. We can put it off. We can turn it down. Saul humbled, and the Lord delivered him. But he had kicked against the pricks. There's a lot of people that's kicking against the pricks. The Lord's trying to get them, and they're backing up. They're struggling. They're not doing it. I dare say every one of us in this room done it before we got saved. I did. I done it for a while. But thank the Lord, the night that I got saved, a man come by. He worked with me for 3 hours. And he told me, he said, Carl, if you'll humble your heart and get down here on this floor and pray, he said, I believe the Lord will save you right here. And I wouldn't do it. He begged me. He pleaded with me. And I got in the car. And I headed to the house about midnight. Or at midnight, whatever, real close to it. And the Lord didn't quit. Thank the Lord. He kept calling. He kept dealing. He kept working. I kept resisting, but He wouldn't quit. Tonight, is that the way it is? Has the Lord been calling you in this meeting? Has He been dealing with you before the meeting? God a lot of times set things up before the meeting. He deals with people and gets them in shape. He gives messages. He gives warnings. He gives exhortations or testimonies sometimes, trying to deal with people. And then they get in the meeting and they're still kicking against the pricks. Well, I went home. And I got ready for bed. And I went to bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. And finally, I rolled out of bed, so to speak, and I got out on the knees, and I didn't quit till I got saved. And I'm thankful the Lord didn't quit. I'm thankful even though, like Saul, I kicked against the pricks. And you've probably done it. But the bottom line is, folks, people do kick against it one time too many, and when they do, they end up lost. And we can do that. And that's my burden tonight. It's rolling through my mind. Don't keep kicking against the prick. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be delivered. Now is the time to get help. Saints, if you need help, now is that time, praise God. You don't have to keep putting it off. You don't have to keep waiting. Now is the time for you to get the blessings that you need tonight. All right, let's go to Luke. Let's go where Brother Marty was last night. Now, he done a fine job on what he was preaching, but I don't want to go the excuse line. He explained that so well, but I want to point out a point here. 14th chapter of Luke. And he's talking here about the 14:15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then said he unto them, "A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many." And then he goes on down, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And it was the one about the buying the ground, the one of getting the 5 yokes of oxen, and the other said, "I married a wife, therefore I cannot come." He didn't ask to have excuse. He just flat said, "I can't come." Now then, it goes on down here. So that servant came, showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." The Lord said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Now then, here's my point. These men made excuse. "Have me excused. Have me excused. I pray, have me excused," 2 of them said. But the bottom line is, what'd they miss? Now that's one point he didn't bring out last night that was ringing in my mind. They missed something. They missed a great supper. They missed a great blessing. They missed something that they could have had because they had an excuse. "I got to prove the oxygen. I got to try the ground. I married a wife, but I can't come." And they missed something. He could have brought his wife. They would know sin. They should have proved the oxen first, not last, is brought out. But the bottom line is this. What they done is they missed something good. They missed a blessing. They missed a great supper. They missed something that was before and beyond what they could have had in what they were doing. One of the finest steakhouses I consider in the country is Cattleman's Steakhouse in Oklahoma City. They have fresh beef. They age it so many days, and they serve it, and you can about cut it with your fork. It's tender, it's delicious, and very few times have I got what I considered a steak in there that wasn't almost perfect. And if you do, I've had them take, and when they see you're not satisfied, they'll take it back and bring you another one. Now then, if Cattleman's Steak sent out and told you tonight that "I will give you a free steak," what would you do? Would you make an excuse and turn it down? Would you make an excuse and say, "Well, I've got to go here, I've got to go there, I've got to do this, I've got to do that"? Would you do that? Or would you say, "That sounds pretty good, I'll try that out"? You're missing a meal tonight. You're missing a meal in the future. You're missing glory every day. You're missing blessings untold. You're missing the communing of Christ with you. You're missing the very things that you could have of the blessings and the glory. Some people put off salvation for years and years and get saved right down at the end of the life. But what if they miss back all those years they could have had something? That's sad. It's pitiful. It's a shame. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord wants you to have that meal now, so to speak. He wants you to start being able to feast at the table. "Come and dine," the song says. "Come and dine." He wants you to come and dine of the very things that He's got in spiritual speaking, of the Word of God and of the blessings, of the messages, of the testimonies, of the exhortations, of the songs. He wants you to get that, and He wants you to start right now. They missed a great supper. Now that could be implied of size there, of how many He served. That could have been. But the bottom line, Jesus has got a great supper, and He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it now. Right now. He sent the people out. There was an urgency. When these people turned Him down, He didn't quit, did He? He said, go to the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go out in the lanes and the streets of the city and invite them in. I've got a supper. I want you to partake of it. Listen, folks, tonight, He doesn't have to keep dealing with you and I. He could go out and talk to other people. He doesn't have to call more than one time. He doesn't have to work with you more than one time. He can give you a calling, and He is justified to send you to a devil's hell after that point. If He calls you and you reject that and you go out into eternity lost, listen, folks, He doesn't have to do any more than that. But He usually does, and He usually wants to help you. He usually wants to bless you. He usually wants, because He paid a high price for your salvation. And tonight He's saying, now is the time. I want you. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to do things for you. Genesis, the 19th chapter. 19 and 15. When the morning arose, when the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now. Run for your life now. Don't keep putting it off now. Don't wait for your son-in-laws now. If they won't come, I want you to run for your life. I want you to do what you need to do. Listen tonight. I believe it was the volcano that exploded up there in Washington, Oregon. I believe it was Mount St. Helens a number of years ago, about 1980, 81, 82. And anyway, there was a man that owned, I believe, a lodge or a home, one or the other. And they went to him and they begged him, said, leave now. This thing is going to erupt. This thing is going to cause major damage. You know, he refused. They begged him. They pleaded with him. They didn't do what the angels done here. They actually let him out and said, get on out of here. We're going to destroy this place. That man was stubborn, and he stayed, and he wouldn't move. And do you know he died in his place? That thing covered him up, covered the whole lodge up or the home up, whatever it was, and that man was buried alive right there in that place. I wonder what his thoughts was when the fire was going. The ash was exploding. The lava was flowing and so forth. How many of you have ever seen an active volcano? It's one of the awesomest things you can see. To look and the smoke is rising and you know that that lava is boiling down in that deal. Even more awesome is to see it at night, where the volcano's there, you're looking at it, and you can see a real glow down in the hole of this thing. You can't see nothing but the bright. It's like a campfire in a container is what it is. And you can see it, and it's right there, and you look at it. You know the lava's flowing. The rangers and the so forth tell you that the lava's flowing underground, and it's moving out to the Pacific Ocean, and it's going and going. It's now above ground, and it is actually destroyed and burning up things right now. Lot was on a place where God was fixing to send down hellfire and brimstone, and the city was fixing to be consumed, and he lingered. He lingered. I don't guess he really quite believed it could happen. You have been told over and over that the end of time is coming. But how many of us is lingering? Thinking, like the five foolish virgins, they slumbered and slept. They're waiting. They're just thinking, well, it'll be a while. I'll be all right. My mother told me, son, I've heard this thing preached all of my life. But the bottom line is, mother, it don't matter how long it's been preached, it will happen one day. The judgment will come. There is going to be a judgment someday. And even if you and I don't live to the judgment, we will die and go out into eternity. And that's the reason we need to have now is the day of salvation. We need to do it now because we don't know how much longer we're going to live. They were most merciful. What it said here, he said, did it say that, and the Lord being merciful unto him. How many of us is lingering? And how many of us is having the mercy of God be merciful to you? There's people that walked over the blood of Jesus, has used His name in vain, has done all kind of things, and that mercy is still waiting, calling, pleading, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I want to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. The Lord is still calling. Now is the day of salvation. Come unto me. I want to bless you. I want to heal you. I want to help you. And they linger and they wait. And the mercy of the Lord is working. In a sense, God is pulling. He's trying, and we keep resisting. Don't resist. Don't be stiff-necked. There's a case in Guthrie, Oklahoma many years ago where there was a fine meeting going on, and there was a service one night, and there was a good message, and there was conviction. There was people going to the altar, but there was a young man in the back that was standing there trembling and resisting. And he turned and he walked out the doors. Another young man followed him. That young man begged him to go back in. Said, please don't walk away tonight. Don't do it. But he wouldn't listen to him. He got in his car and he was gone. About 2 weeks later, he was dead and he drowned in a river there near Guthrie. He got in a river, got in a whirlpool, I believe it was, or something like that, and it sucked him under and he couldn't come out of it and he was gone. And as far as we know, there was no hope for this young man. We don't know unless he got it right then. But he had the chance that night. He was called right then. Now is the time. Listen, when Jesus is calling, is pleading, is working, we do not know if we'll ever have another chance again. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get saved. Lot run for his life, finally. They took hold on him. What more is it going to take? What else can we do? Shall we? There have been actually people gone and led people to altar. I don't really recommend that. But what do we have to do? Wasn't it the night Brother Salmons got saved? That Brother Sam Abbott, wasn't it? Got up and he held up his hand and he said, what else can we do? Or something like that. What more can we do to help you all? What more must we do? We pleaded, we begged, and I'm not talking about me particularly, I'm talking about the whole body of ministers that have been here down through the years. These meetings have been held to the glory of God, and people have pled, they preached, they taught, they've exhorted, they've done everything they could do. Yet there is people who resisted the Holy Ghost and gone their way anyway. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Lot made his move. Finally he made his move. Oh, tonight he had to be helped. Let's go to Jonah, the third chapter. Now, as you know, Jonah was called of the Lord to go to Nineveh and cry aloud and spare not. Said, go, arise, go to Nineveh, this first chapter, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As you, everybody probably in here knows the story, Jonah got in trouble. The Lord sent a whale, and he got in the belly of the whale, and he got down to a place. And when he come to himself, the water compassed me. I'm in the second chapter now. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. My soul fainted with me, and I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee in thine holy temple, that thou observe lying vanities, forsake thine own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah finally got to the place where he admitted that he was in the wrong, so to speak, and the Lord sent the whale to land, and it vomited out Jonah. Now then, the third chapter, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, he laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, and set in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published to Nineveh by the decree of the kings and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. What can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from this fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Somebody listened. Again, the cry is going out, now you're going to be destroyed. This is the end. No more. This city has come to judgment. And it's going to be destroyed. And now Jonah's crying aloud and he telling and bringing out and so forth. And they begin to listen. They begin to think. And they believe God and proclaim to fast. All of the United States of America needs to do this. They need to believe and listen and proclaim all the way from the top to the bottom. The president all the way through the Congress and the Senate, every judge in the United States is so wicked today, they need to get out in double ashcloth and sackcloth and ashes. They need to do it double. And the congressmen and the senators and the governors and different ones, they need to get right on down there. And they need to do that. Because folks, now is a day of salvation and the end of time is not very far off. I don't believe. We've got two ministers among us that I've heard both of them proclaim, and one of them told me again recently, he said, Brother Carl, I got a lot of confidence in him, man. He said, Brother Carl, I want you to know the Lord has impressed me strongly. The end of time is not very far off. Another minister stood in Guthrie here a year ago or so, and he said the same thing. Both of them were saying the same thing. I don't know if either one had talked to each other, but they were saying the same thing. The end of time is not very far off. Nineveh listened. Nineveh listened. And they began to do something about it. There was urgency. I heard a minister preach a message recently in Guthrie. And his message that night was, I don't remember exactly the deal, but it was concerning the soul and the urgency. There's an urgency, he said. I have an urgency. My heart has an urgency tonight. Something needs to happen. We keep putting it off. We keep turning it down. We keep resisting it. We keep lingering. We keep waiting. What is it going to take, folks? Help us. What is it going to take to get our attention? What is it going to take to get us to humble ourselves and get out in sackcloth and ashes and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul? Is it going to take a death of somebody right next to you? That has happened. There have been many people that has died and gone out in eternity. You look at, well, I'm not going to name no names, but I know a situation where a child was killed, a young person killed in a family. Daddy got saved. Another man got stirred up. But it took the death of this person to do it. I'm begging you tonight, don't keep lingering. Don't keep waiting. Don't keep thinking, I can get away with this. I want to enjoy sin a little longer. I want to enjoy what I'm doing a little longer. When the very message, the very burden tonight is, now is the day of salvation. Come now. Be saved now. Be blessed now. Don't keep putting it off. So many people keep waiting. So many people keep lingering. And many times they regret it for all their life. All of eternity. Mother told me the story of a man in Mississippi. This man, God had dealt with him over and over and over. And he come to him one more time in a revival meeting. And he called him one more time, and the man turned him down. He said he knew. Mother said he would stand up in tears and beg people to get saved. He would stand up and beg them to get help. He said, I have no hope left. There's no way I can ever get saved. Said, the Lord give me a call. I rejected that last call, and I crossed the line, and that's it. He said, never again. Some people say, well, that'll never happen to me, will it? God gives last calls. And He does it maybe more than what we realize. One day, that person, you could very likely step across that line. That man stepped across it and Mama begged. Mama said he would beg, he would plead. But he never had a chance anymore. Lot lingered. Nineveh got busy. Nineveh didn't linger. Nineveh got busy. The king got busy. The king said, let's proclaim a fast. I don't want animal. I don't want anything. I want everybody to fast. Right on down. And they did. God repented of the evil. Oh, tonight, what will change God's mind tonight is your repenting. You're humbling. You're asking for mercy. You're begging. You're doing everything that you need to do. That's what will change God's mind. Otherwise, the wrath of God abides on the heads of those that are not saved. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy tonight, Lord. There are multitudes of people that have stepped out in eternity not prepared to meet God. Let's finish in John, the 5th chapter. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. John 5 and 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given unto the Son to have life in Himself. I want the 20. Did I read? I missed one here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Now, the voice of God is the most wonderful voice you can ever hear. You and I get calls, and anymore, maybe because of cell phones, we get more calls than we used to because it's right there. You can get them, just get them, get them, get them. And you answer that call, and you deal with that thing or whatever it might be, and you hang up, and then a little while another call comes. We all get calls. We'll get them all through life. Some people more, some people less. But we will get calls. But there's calls spiritually too. And Jesus is giving that call. He's been calling, I would say, in this meeting. He's been giving the call to come. He's been giving the call, come closer, my child. He's been giving the call, it's time to get the help that you need. He's been giving the call, come and be saved. He's been giving the call, come and be sanctified. He's been giving that call. And He said, The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Are we hearing the voice? Are we listening to the call? Are we paying attention tonight? The problem is the world is so busy and our minds are so whirling, we don't hear what God's wanting us to hear. We don't get it. We pass it up. We come to meeting and we're, well, my partner used to say, they have the teddy bear stairs. He said, people that work in factories in the Northeast, they do everything so automatically in car factories and this factory and that factory. Said they come down here and you look at them and they're just kind of spaced out. He said, look at them, Carl. Look at them, John. Look at them, Jack. They're kind of spaced out. He said, they got the teddy bear stairs. They're not really comprehending. They're not really seeing. They're not really hearing. They're just going through the motions. We need more than motion, folks. We need repentance. We need more than motion. We need humility. We need more than motion. We need what God would ask us to do, bless your heart. People are going through the motions. They're not hearing. God's calling and they're not hearing. He's ringing and ringing and ringing and begging and pleading and calling, and they're just going on with the teddy bear stairs. But it said, He, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, how much have we heard? How much have we responded? What do we want? Why are we here? Are we here just to be seen? Are we here just to socialize? There's ministers have got hundreds of miles come down here. It's not easy to do what ministers, evangelists, and so forth, and pastors do. It's not easy. But listen, folks, God's here too, and He come further than the rest of us. He's come and He's working and He's laboring. He's doing more work than all the rest of us put together, so to speak. He's going up and down these aisles and through these pews and He's begging and He's pleading, now, come now. And yet people are lingering. They're kicking against the pricks. They're not listening. They're not hearing the voice of God. Well, there will be a voice that you hear one day. And that is, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And those of us that are ready said, come, you blessed inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what will be said one day. That will be the last two things per se concerning judgment that we can hear. And that will be great if we have the right place that we're in. I was praying for my father's family one time several years ago. And he's got some fine people in his family. People that go to church. People that live great lives. And I was praying for him and I stopped and I said, Lord, I wouldn't want to be their judge. I wouldn't want to be their judge. You know what he told me? He said, child, it's the blood, it's the blood. That blood has got to be sprinkled on the doorpost of the heart or the death angel is going to take you away. But he'll pass over if that blood is there. He said, that makes a difference. The blood here and her name written in blood in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now is the time. Now is your time. Your time. Your time to get what you need tonight. That's the burden. Won't you come tonight? Let's stand and have a number, please. I appreciate your time, attention, and prayers tonight.